You know what I mean? And when we don't fail, we get that
Her husband used to come to every commission. He died a few years ago. And she had an issue about her house, but we got her some help through Roanoke Electric is going to do it. They couldn't do it under grant because she made too much money, but they financed it for her. She only had 1% on the loan. So they should remember to say something good about that. Something. I don't know what you're going to say.
Yeah. You know, they're going to happen. They're helping again, you know.
Okay, sure.
I'm saying something. All right. Online center. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to call the August 7th, 2023 meeting of the Burton County Board of Commissioners. Glad to see everybody here and everybody who's joining us by Zoom. We want to kick off our meeting by welcoming all of you to it and ask Commissioner Dallas to lead us an invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
You know, everyone, let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Rise, God, first of all, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for bringing us all through the course of a day. God, we thank you for everybody that may be on the line. We thank you for those that's present and may be on the way. God, we thank you for how you provided and made rooms for us all through this day. And now that you've brought us to this point, we ask that you be in the midst of our meeting. We ask that you bless our minds. Lord, help us to get understanding that we make good decisions on behalf of the citizens of Burton County. God, we thank you for everybody that has a voice here on tonight and will be making presentations. And God, we just simply ask that you have your way in this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And lead us.
I pray that you will answer the flag of the United States of America as a living republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Dallas. Notification. Most of you commissioners have had a chance to review our agenda. Are there any suggested corrections or changes to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Also, as a body of the County Board of Commissioners, we are subject to the laws and bylaws of the state, and that would include the conflict of interest statutes. So, if there's any commissioner who has a conflict or an appearance of conflict with any matter on our agenda tonight, please say so and disclose that objection or conflict. Hearing none, that we pass that statute. The first thing we'll get to is our appointments and, we have a public comments section. 3 minutes for any citizen who'd like to come before us here or on the phone. Just come forward, give your name, your address, and your comments. Anyone here in person have any comments? Yes, please, come forward.
I just want to say that I'm so happy to be in the commission meeting today. Wednesday be 10 years my husband been gone. And he was one to come every Monday of the month. Rain, snow, I don't care what it was, he was here. It feels good to be in the house.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Joe, anyone on the Zoom that has any comments?
None that I can see.
Great, thank you. Well, as always, we also have a comment section, public comments at the conclusion of our meeting. So if anything is discussed during the meeting that anyone has any concerns or questions about, you'll have another opportunity to address those at the end. All right. So now we're going into our appointments and reports. And first up for us is Robin Payne with Special Projects Updates. Robin, hello.
Hello, everyone. Let's see. Joe has a few pictures to post from our July 22nd event. Joe, you can just scroll through a couple seconds. This is our bulletin board. We have rat cards on either side. We've got some great up-to-date posters thus far, our water bottle refill station and our water fountain. This is as you drive up to the project. We have 6 picnic tables on the inside of the pavilion, but then we added 3 out front with some umbrellas. And the tent that you see right there, the green one, that was just there for that event. Next, Joe. This is a sign that Dr. Riggs had designed. We have 2 of them. One as you go down the path, and then the other is at the bottom of the cliff so that people understand the shoreline stabilization project and the reason why we're trying to preserve the cliffs, but also gives them a little bit of background on the geology of where exactly they are. Next, Joe. Just some people walking down to the beach that day. We had, starting at 11 o'clock, 332 people were counted.
Wow.
And people were already unpacking when we were there at 8:30 that morning. So, yeah. Okay, next, Joe. Another view. Actually, this is a couple of guys that had a canoe, and they paddled in from somewhere, and they were coming up. Somebody, some more folks taking a trip down there. But the beach was full, lots of boats, group of people off to the left. Next. Chair Wesson talking to Joe Miller. Joe Miller is the state's, he's head of the North Carolina Year of the Trail for all of 2023. So he stopped by. Because remember, it was Edenton had an event, Salmon Creek had an event with their big canoes. They took out 10 or 11 folks that day. And then Tall Glass of Water did too. So, okay, next, Joe. Oh, and here is Patricia Ferguson with her tent and Senator Hannig that stopped by for a while. And this is just one of 7 trail informational signs that was up. This one is of Guy Holly with the 4-H students a few years ago when, you know, we had a meeting and some pizza with them one day, and then we went to Tall Glass of Water and we got stuck in the mud and we ended up staying for a few hours, but it was a lot of fun. So Guy wrote up something that we could put on a trail sign. So it was cool. All right. Do I have any more, Joe?
That was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Here's an update from Vines, Cheston. A few things before we reach the end. Project reached substantial completion on July 14th with a minor punch list to complete. Number 2, AR Cheston has completed the punch list items, and those are being back-checked by the design team currently. Number 3, Cheston and Vines are working through the closeout process now, which includes producing the record drawings for the project, compiling all of the record submittals for the project, compiling and submitting all project warranties, negotiating the remaining change orders on the project, and working towards the final project cost reconciliation. The final payout on the project will be completed and submitted once reconciliation is complete. And number 4, the goal is to have the final completion on the project by the end of August. This will depend on the timely completion of the additional drain piping to address the erosion along the beach access trail. What that is, when you're facing the water, getting ready to go down the access, you know, the stabilized drawing blank. A stabilized aggregate, there's just a couple areas that are washing out. So they've done some different piping, wait for a rain event, and then see where it goes. So they're monitoring that. And then aside from Vines Chesson, I know Donna and I have a list that we keep monitoring on what are the day-to-day maintenance items, caretaking items. And I know she submitted a list to Juan and Courtney today that would be for advertising that position, right? Like, what would those day duties be?
She's supposed to give that to Courtney, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. So we keep working on that. Right now, we're focusing on grant closeout, final details. But yeah, we have a few more signs to put up. Have some railroad ties that need to get installed on the overlook. You know, just small things like that. Okay, tall glass of water. This is about State Historic Preservation Office. So because Tall Glass of Water is a historic property, you know, with our archaeological finds, our lost colony finds, from here forward, we will need to get SHPO's approval support on any of our construction activities. So we currently have a CAMA major permit that's getting ready to be issued on the shoreline stabilization, but we can't commence our digging until we get our SHPO letter. They understand that what we're doing for shoreline stabilization actually protects the artifacts, but still we need to have that letter. And also there is a grant that we received a few months ago, Parks and Recreation, and it is the Accessibilities for Parks grant. $500,000. And to move forward on that, we also need our SHPO letter. But then we have an additional grant that we had submitted that's pending, Land and Water Conservation Fund for $500,000 for phase two. And of course, I need the SHPO letter to move forward with that. SHPO, State Historic Preservation Office. They are the reviewers of any project where project owner, okay, so you submit a grant application, and many times we often have to submit permits. And depending on that location, we have to examine, the state has to be sure, let's say, that we're not negatively impacting any archaeological finds. So I've met with SHPO last month, reviewed the entire project, all different phases, and I don't see any problems. They understand that obviously everybody's happy with the research that's been conducted and our plans to move forward. But we still need these letters, and we're going to continue to need these letters.
Let me be sure, they didn't voice any opinion, any concerns around the plans that we have for the next phase and the build and where we thought those places would go.
No, but we still need a letter.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. And they need to be
concerned.
It's not a concern, it's just a requirement.
Okay.
And that is, they have a package they need filled out. It's very detailed. It's not something that I can do. You know, we need to hire somebody to do this. And certainly it helps that First Colony Foundation has already produced that report for us. Not the same report that SHPO requires, but it's a very detailed analysis of what went on at Site Y. So there is a list of firms that SHPO had recommended. One in particular that I'm familiar with, and they're in Tarboro, Chronicle Heritage. And this is what they do. They provide this report that SHPO needs. Ms. Susan Bayman, and she has spoken with CAMA about what exactly we need for that CAMA major permit along the shoreline. And she's spoken with the Office of State Archaeology, which are the SHPO folks, understanding what, for our project, what SHPO is looking for. And she has sent us contract for those services, $7,897. Because this is a permit-based consult fee, this one we have covered under the grant. You know, I don't see any problem there. I wanted to bring it to your attention. This would be for the entire 147 acres. I feel good moving forward that we'll have that covered. And I've reviewed the contract with WAND. It's for services. Now, what Susan will also be producing is there might be some more shovel tests that need to be dug. We don't know. There may be one. There may be 40. We don't know. When she gets to that point, she'll let us know in what she's producing. And based on how many shovel tests are required, then we'll have to come up with, she'll come up with a number, an estimate, and we'll need funding for that.
My concern, Robin, and you know, and I've seen this on other projects, when you have to do the shovel test, and then things are found, and then there are restrictions put in place on what you can do or cannot do around those sites. Do we obviously run that risk, don't we?
You probably need to have a state person give you the exact verbiage that is required, but understanding what is there is the first thing that's important. I think that's one of the bigger fears, is covering up something without understanding what's there. If we find something there, and then our plans are, we're building a slab for a pavilion, let's say. There are a number of different scenarios that we can work with. So it's not an issue of preventing the construction. It's an issue of, let's understand what's there first. If we were excavating and digging up, that's something that's different versus covering up. If we're covering up with a slab, then we need to just mark where everything is, and so from here on out, I don't want to say anything wrong. You know, it gets complicated, but the first order is, let's see what's there.
I'm sure.
Let's get
and,
this.
And that makes sense. My point is that anytime we go into a process like this, and there are likely going to be artifacts all over that place, right? So we don't want to avoid any restrictions of our use and our plans on that site unless they're truly, truly warranted, right?
Right.
I mean, that could be a problem for us.
Right, and let's figure it out now.
Right.
Yeah.
If you remember right, that similar same issue, not from the same people, reference one with the EMS building, right? Wetlands, burial grounds.
Oh, sure.
All this. Mm-hmm. And that took us, Mr. Cooper took us, what, maybe 6 or 8 months to get past that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And before we could even break ground.
Yeah. So we're good timing for it. You know, we're still looking for grant funding to move forward on phase two and then our campground.
These grants that we do have that are coming up to the phase, this could be affected that. The grant. People who have used the grant, going to release the grants to us, they would take that in consideration if our time was not what they said it was going to be. Correct. Because
it's a verified reason.
They got a grant and they said, hold up, we need checks to find us here.
Right. Right. Yeah, we can get an extension.
Lose the grant over timing. Issue that's up to them and not us.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Now, Land and Water Conservation Fund grant, that has gone through multiple review processes. We may not make it until the next round, but it's all right. We'll catch the next cycle. We need that letter.
All right. Well, the upside is certainly larger than the potential downside of this. I hear you, but I just wanted to let, we need to be understand that with certain kinds of things, what they find could put certain restrictions on what we can and cannot do, right? But we have to be aware. So it is good to know up front.
Right.
The upside, the upside is larger. So,
all right.
Well, when we talk earlier about the road itself, it's not that, you know, that's not the permanent plan.
About the what itself?
The road itself. Mm-hmm. I said, you said earlier, that's not the permanent plan.
Correct.
Okay. Well, have the property been acquired to locate? Have the permanent path been located, mm-hmm. and surveyed and everything that goes to that?
Okay. It has, yeah.
Okay.
It follows about half of the current imprint.
Right, right.
But it shortens. There's not as many curves as there are now.
Right. And I asked the reason because I had a couple phone calls saying that we could wind out because one person was trying to get out, one was trying to get in. And this is weird now.
And from Ball Gray, there's going to be an ingress and an egress.
Right.
It's not going to be that one lane to widen. Right. It's going to be definitely two paths.
Is there anything, is there any money in our existing to do anything this summer around the road? I don't mean anything major, but you know, and I heard I had four calls before I even showed up at noon. And a lot of people, they were friendly and everybody was concerned, but a couple of people got stuck. It is difficult to pass.
Right.
So are there any funds to do anything with
improving the road? I'll have to get back to you on that.
That would be bad.
And get back with me to Robert on the sign.
All of us, get back to the door.
It's bigger sign.
Bigger sign, because it was one, they were like, it's about
six. They're big in my office.
The two things that I had heard were the sign to turn into the path is still
small.
The
turn isn't complete yet.
The turn are from the neighborhood that live in. That's where most people are.
Okay. That post, that 12-inch post, gets a red cap on it, and I mean it's a temporary layout right now. There's a 12-inch by 12-inch by 9-foot tall post at the beginning of the farm path.
Yes, that's the road
that says beach access.
Right, it's still not
okay.
Not big people.
We could just sign down farther back. You know, sign too close to the access. We're not turning in there.
That's different than what?
Well, I'm talking about the sign you're talking about.
To turn left in.
Yeah.
But I heard good things about it.
Well,
it's all right. I understand. Meant a few of you were away. All right. Juan and I'll move forward with this services or consulting. Proposal.
One last thing, we're waiting on something down the campsites. Where are we on the campsites now?
The burn.
For the burn.
That is in the process. It's working its way through the state paperwork.
Okay.
So we may not have to wait till December, but they will monitor it, the Forest Service here, and it may be burnable sooner.
Okay. Last thing I had is, what about volunteers? I know we're still looking for volunteers, or where we stand on that.
Not formally, but we have had some.
We turn a couple over to you then. So, but are you still looking for, or do you want to wait on that?
I think it is better. I mean, we have a volunteer who's wonderful. She wants to come and pick up trash. Once Donna has a real defined daily activities, the necessity of what's required every day there, I mean, it's a process. you know, learning what's needed. And then I think reaching out for volunteers in addition to the person that you'll hire.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Just so we're firm and can give people clear direction.
Yeah. I mean, some things have been asking. We've been down there to, like I said, do you need any volunteers? So we want to,
right.
Want to be able to give them an answer.
Okay. Maybe we can post something on the website.
Okay.
All right. Quickly, coastal resilience update. Remember, that is the funding that Bertie County received for the Cupplemaker Swamp. It's connected to Hoggard's Mill water area. George Wood has been working on the engineering and the specifications for that. We have to have it turned in by the end of August. He is on track with it, no problem. He's coming tomorrow, and we're going to meet with Alan Castillo in Windsor to look at what their coastal resiliency needs are for Hoggard's Mill, because the two partnering makes sense.
Sure.
You know, can't fix one and expect it to really have a positive impact. We need to address both together. So George is creating his documentation with that in mind. Okay. Here's an industry opportunity I wanted to ask for your approval for a Golden Leaf opportunity on the site program. I know I'm not technically economic development, but site program is rural and economically distressed communities must have sites available for development to attract new businesses and create opportunities. So they've broken it into three different grant categories. One is identification, due diligence, and development. And so identification would be Golden Leaf would hire consultants to work with the folks who are, you know, engaged already in some type of economic development or have knowledge of things going on throughout the county, and they would create a plan, you know, where and it would be mapped. Locations would be mapped. Infrastructure needs would be mapped. Dollar amounts addressed or attributed to the different infrastructure needs. And that letter of intent is due September 15th.
And that's the stage that we want as opposed to the next stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
After some discussion with them, they felt like
right, but that's where the most of the money is going to be on that early stage, people with early stage project.
Most of the money.
It's probably going to be there on people who want the planning piece done,
yeah,
as opposed to the next stage. So we're not ready for the next stage.
No, not unless you have sites already identified and ready to go,
right,
but just need engineering work or infrastructure work. But this would be a great package to have in hand for moving forward on other growth items. Got a yes?
Yes. Close to you. Yeah. Sure. You didn't hear any no's.
All right. Let's see. Travel and tourism update. This month, I expect to issue the RFP for the master plan development. It would be for consulting services for producing the travel and tourism master plan. We've received funding from Department of Commerce through the Rural Transformation Grant Fund to move forward on this. We're looking at a few other sources for remaining funding. We need about $100,000, but it won't prohibit us from moving forward. The RFP, we've already written the draft, and it would be, like I said, just for services. So. Next would be, remember, we've from time to time have talked about researching occupancy tax for the county. We were happy. 2 weeks ago, we met with Uplift, which is a new North Carolina initiative for rural communities around travel and tourism, realizing, of course, that many of the urban areas have existing travel and tourism entities, and many rural communities do not. So they've been a great help. They're with us in the process. They can help us move the research that is required on occupancy tax one step at a time. We also were happy to meet with Magellan Strategies, who is the company that researches and produces the occupancy tax report for North Carolina. And they can work with us moving forward. Also on June 22nd, North Carolina legislation was passed, which would allow Bertie County to adopt an occupancy tax if they choose to. We have a number of steps to move forward, of course. You're not required to pass it or to enact it, but that legislation that passes or that passed allows us to move forward.
That was the big hurdle. And that is there.
Right.
But let's be clear, it also gives us the ability to amend what might be initially recommended, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty broad statute.
Right. So we get to add the specificity to match our needs, right?
We have a lot of work to do.
Yes,
so Uplift and Magellan have given us a suggested next steps and, of course, form the committee. And that's a group of folks in Bertie County, one or two that are already engaged in lodging or travel and tourism business, a person who is maybe building something new, travel and tourism related, hotel, motel, something. Then we'll develop a meeting schedule for the committee. Work with the Uplift team to develop a quick strategic marketing plan for what the first 3 years of the TDA might look like. And a TDA is a Tourism Development Authority, and they would help the group work through that development. We would also, with their help, develop a report and presentation to give to the commissioners regarding the recommendations of the committee. And then, you know, we have public input. You know, this could easily go 6 to 7 months for us to move through all the different steps. And certainly.
At what point do we take this to the public to get public comment on this?
I think sit down with the first four or five committee members, and we need to hear questions. We need to get examples from other similar rural communities.
That's not what I mean. Are we required to have public approval?
Yes, you are.
Right. So at what stage do we do this? Because we don't want to spend a lot of crazy money unless we know the citizens are going to support this.
Right. I think, you know, after the initial committee is met, because we need to develop, we have questions too. And then we want to give information to the public.
Yes.
To think about. And then I think we'll probably end up having a number of different meetings.
How soon do you think we'll be ready to do that? What do you guess?
Did you ask me when?
Yeah, what is your guess about when we should be able to take this to the public?
We're going to get through all them steps. That's probably a work session thing, but we'll probably have to survey everything. We're
just wasting a lot of time and spending a lot of money unless we know, and citizens, we get enough to be able to explain to citizens what this is all about. And this is a tax. That's what I think about ourselves. It's a tax. And we want citizens to understand that. We want
Yes. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I think public outreach, public information needs to go out first.
That's correct.
Yeah, before there is a couple of input sessions. Right. Oh yeah, without question.
Right. And the realization that we will have to have their approval. Is that correct?
Yes. Right. You have to have their approval. Absolutely.
Yeah, I still think we need to have a work session on this thing. So we don't let it out.
We do.
And let's
Right. Go from there.
And I'm thrilled that we will have the help of Uplift and Magellan Strategy Group.
They know what they're
doing. Who deals with this all the time.
Yes.
And yes, this is not a tax to the residents. This is a vacationer's tax. This is a lodging tax. Unless a resident is renting a hotel here, then this is not a residential tax. The funding from the occupancy tax proceeds does not even go into government funds. It is to be used completely for promoting travel and tourism in Bertie County, and that helps all businesses. So, and it's very explicit how those funds are used.
I think the thing with being sure that we're able to explain the impact to citizens who have businesses that might be impacted as a result of this, what that would mean to them.
Right. And
that's important.
I think we'll be reaching out to everybody about that.
Good.
So, that is yours.
Not
okay. Oh, okay. No questions?
No. Thank you, Robin. Thank you very much. Okay. National appointments and requests as a Ms. Cooper, the update on emergency management services. Hey, Mitch.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good, man.
Yeah, you can pull this up. I see it. I got it. Thank you. All right, so this evening I'm coming before the board to do our public officials update, which we do every year. It is required by a grant that we get for emergency management performance that we come before the board and update you on our program. Y'all are pretty well versed in what we do. We're pretty vocal about what we're doing in the county, so I think you've got a pretty good idea of what we're going to do this to make sure we check off that box and get that $2,500, right?
That's right.
So, public officials update, we'll go over some hurricane predictions, response readiness, natural disasters, and man-made disasters that we prepare for in the program just for emergency management. NOAA's hurricane forecast for 2023 is 12 to 17 named storms. As you know, I think we've already had three. One was named before hurricane season. We've had two since then. 5 to 9 could be hurricane status, and 1 to 4 could be major. We have had one tornado in the county July 3rd, and that was confirmed by the National Weather Service. But the good news out of his mouth is he said, with El Nino, I think we're going to have a limited hurricane season. So knock on wood, he is correct on that, which these numbers are less than what the predictions were last year. Response readiness. Our EOC is located at the Sheriff's Department on County Farm Road. Along with communications and them, we work together in that conference room to make sure the citizens have all the information they need and how to prepare and what kind of damages and injuries or anything that occurred during the storm. Our EOC phone numbers are as listed. Citizens can find this information online. This is if they need to report any damages or anything that happens during a storm that is not a 911 call, they can call and report it through this office, which will be open during the storms. And that way we can get it up to the state and get the proper information where it needs to be if we're going to activate anything from the state or the federal FEMA. Our central receiving distribution point, which is the warehouse behind Bill Clyde Ford. A lot of y'all have been in there. We luckily, the sheriff's office helped us get some pallet racks last year to start working and getting that more coordinated. That building's got a lot of materials in it that stands ready for disasters. We keep water, MREs, we keep shelter supplies, we keep all types of readiness response to make sure we can go stand up before we have to call in the state or the federal government. We can stand alone for about 72 hours before we have to request any help.
What's the shelf life of those MREs?
Years. And through the shelter for the school system and some meetings we just currently had with the DSS director in the school system, you know, we have new directors in maintenance and DSS. The school allows us to cook their food, and then we reimburse it and get it back, put back into the schools. So our meals are pretty good compared to eating out of those boxes. But
this is the last ditch effort.
Yeah, this is the last ditch effort. It's nothing thought about an MRE. I don't care how you remember that. It's still an MRE. And it come out of a cardboard box, and it probably tastes not like a cardboard box.
So I would eat the box instead.
Berkeley High School is our number one shelter. For any occasion, this will be our number one that we open up, especially for hurricanes. This is the most up-to-date shelter we have. Number two shelter is West Bertie. And number three is Coleraine. Now, our sheltering takes not only a hurricane approach, but an all hazards approach. We've worked with REA in the past and some other events where if we needed one designated shelter, that's where we went and opened in that location. And between the network, between the school and DSS and the Red Cross, we're able to manage those fairly easy and get them open. We've worked very hard with that CRDP. A lot of our equipment is only what we call pods, so we can deploy something. Anthony and Ricky's group are amazing. You pick up a phone call, and in about 45 minutes, somebody's going to be sitting in the warehouse. It's going to be loaded. And I say within 4 hours, we can have shelter open. So that's pretty good.
But you would still have an issue around generators?
We have one 75 kW generator that we have purchased. All we have to do is call an electrician to get in and come put it in. The only school we can use that on currently right now is the middle school, but we can put lights and heat in that school fairly easy if we need it.
But for the other shelter that we mentioned, we don't have
generators. We don't have generators on those shelters. We have home generators, we have fans, we have lights.
Right.
We can make do, but the comfort of it and the longevity of it is very limited, but that's why we have those other capabilities and things we can. Generator, there's some grants for generators. The problem we run into is some grants for transfer switches to cost.
Transfer switches.
Generator we paid was $150, and I think the transfer switch was $85,000. Just to get a generator put in.
That's right.
The generator we could have got for free with a grant.
That's right. Well, how was it that?
$85 million for the transfer switch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the most important things that we stress, especially to our citizens, is our HyperReach program. We have control from our cell phones and from our computers to get out the most up-to-date information by the touch of a button and recording a voice. This is online. If every citizen would sign up for this, we use it strictly for emergency use. If we have a disaster, man-made or natural, this is where your information is going to come from. We are working to get onto the IPAWS program, which is we'll have the access to go out with cell phone towers, and cell phones within so many miles of that tower will be able to get information to them. So that's
pretty cool.
You know, that's one of them. You don't want to push the wrong button, and then that would be right, talking about the missing strike. But it's great technology to have, and you put it in the right hands, and it can save lives. So
this is where folks have to opt in, right, to the system.
So if you have a landline, we use it automatically. Once we get iPads, we'll have it automatically. We wish that you would opt into it. Also, because it's easier to get the information to you.
And you got to have that to sell, right?
Yeah, in certain areas, because when you opt into it, you have a text message option and an email option. So if you miss the call, we've got two other sources of communication
right. That
we get the information up.
And what's the right use to put out a message saying, folks, you know, how to opt into it? They can call us, give us that number. How long has it been since we've done that?
Yearly, we do something on Facebook and the website. Okay. And then, you know, we use this pretty regularly, but like I say, unless you opt in or have a landline, and right. We've about exhausted the landline because a lot of people don't even have landline. So that's why I really want to push for people to opt into it.
Okay.
Natural disasters that we prepare for, train for, hurricane, tropical storms, severe storm floods. Severe storms are going to be in our area tonight, so please be aware. Wildfires, winter storms, tornadoes, droughts, and extreme heat currently going on today. Landslides, power outages, and tsunamis. Never had a tsunami, but they, we trained for it because if this possible, this could happen here. Man-made disasters, chemical spills, hazardous materials. The number of one hazardous material response program is sitting in Williamson, North Carolina. So 17 miles, we have them at our fingertips to be able to come over and assist us for any type of hazardous material spills. Explosions, chemical and biological attacks, train accidents, plane crashes, groundwater contamination, and cyber attacks. Cyber attacks, if they call me about a cyber attack, I'm going to pass that one all over to a few officers down. But at least we have an option that's available for them if we have those issues. Key partners we work with are, of course, our local government, county, and municipal agencies, volunteer fire departments, law enforcement, EMS, state response agencies, and federal response agencies, and especially our private sector. Purdue Farms, Avoca, which is now Ashland, Darling, all of those companies, they play a big role because to have nice things, it takes hazardous chemicals to make them work, and we want to make sure that if they have an issue, we're aware of it, they can contain it, and we can go on about our lives, and they can continue to make those great products.
U.S. Gas also now, remember, and you also have a CO2 plant going in right now.
Okay.
Definitely get out and talk. We need to talk to some more people.
Projects we're working on. We're going to update our emergency operation plan. We budgeted for that. We're going to do that in accordance with our local emergency planning committee, which is of 5 counties, which include Martin, Terrell, Washington, and Hyde. We work very closely with those 5 counties. They're what make the LAPC possible. And those groups right there are our key groups that are coming in during our disasters when we're going to their counties. So we're going to work on doing our updates all together to make sure we have a broad picture of what's going on in each county. That way, when they come to us, they know what we expect, and then we go to them what they expect to make sure their county's up and running like it needs to be. Our disaster awareness working group, which we call our DAW groups, is 16 counties, and that puts us in what we call the disaster preparedness region. And that's how we got the 75 kW generator, a light tower. We have a box that provides internet that we keep on our command desks and things like that. Being a part of that group is what provides that to come into our county. We take possession of it. We put insurance on it. We tag it like a sire's, and we keep the maintenance up on it. But a great part is it's a state asset. So whatever other counties get through that program, we can use too. We just have to request it. Mm-hmm. So. So anybody have any questions about the emergency management program for Berkeley County, other than we're going to knock on the wood and keep these storms at bay?
Amen.
Thanks, Vince. Yeah, not exactly, but I don't know if you want to give us some report about the closing of Martin General.
I can. Had a conversation with the emergency manager and the fire chief of Williamson, and Martin County runs 4,300 EMS calls a year. 2,700 of them happen right there in Williamson, which makes Berkeley Hospital their closest hospital. We have offered all the assistance we can, and if they get in a bind with their transport times now that they've got to leave their county, we're willing to go help. We understand that they're going to be bringing more patients into our county, which we invite. We want people to have good health care. The issues are we had a 9-bed hospital, and now we're about to double the call volume on it. So we got to be prepared on what we're going to start doing. And tomorrow in this very room, we're having a meeting with our medical director, and then we're going to start more meetings with the hospital about our destination plans and what we're going to do in the future, which is going to increase our transport times and put more miles on our trucks and more wear and tear. But it's going to keep a lot of stress off of this hospital and get up things going to other places and going to, they call it appropriate destinations, but we're going to have to rewrite our plan to be able to accommodate for the awful influx of patients coming in.
I spoke to Brian Harville, you know, who has our facility here and the one in Chevron, and they're estimating that even after all of that, still about somewhere 30-32% increase in usage of our facility here. That's huge.
It is, because they're already busy.
They already have staffing concerns anywhere and in Showon.
It's not uncommon for us to go in and put certain patients in hallway business.
Right.
I'll stress of ECU Health Group, you take it in the hospital, since that place was sold to a company out of Tennessee. Yeah.
What, you asked me what the chance
is? Yeah, I was asking if you heard your skull.
I haven't. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, that's...
The last thing I heard, I just heard this late last week, that they were, a proposal was brought to the commissioners about keeping it open
for urgent care.
And the board didn't want to have any part to do with that. But they have two urgent care facilities in Williamson now, private sector. And they brought, my understanding is they brought in the second one knowing that this could be a possibility. And that's might have been what actually pushed the hospital kind of over the curb too, because they lost a lot of business to that. But they did not take a position on that.
Well, I'll say that decision is above my pay grade to our citizens. We're going to continue to provide the best service. We're going to continue to work towards a plan to make it the best we can. And our neighbors in Martin County, if there's anything we can assist them with, we're going to go there and help them and run to their aid if we need to.
But there's an upside to this for us, too.
No, there is an upside, and that's what I was going to say. One thing we need to start examining, and we don't have an economic developer at this time, but we do need to start looking at maybe some access to some land that could possibly be close to that hospital that could add the rooms and things that may need to expand that hospital. And that should be taken into consideration. If there's some land in that area that could be purchased, that's right there close to the hospital. I think there is. Matter of fact, right across the street. But we need to really look at that. Because I think that could be a real homeland of Berthier County.
And as you know, Mitch, one of the things that we submitted that went to committee in the state was a larger station facility on the western side of the town that was over Purdue, but also support evacuation, right?
Yes, sir.
Outside of that area where we now have West Berthier, which is too close for us. So that is in committee. And you know, the legislature, the budget has not been passed yet. So, you know, Steinberg has lobbied hard for it. Senator Hynek loved it and said he would push for it, but we haven't heard any words since then. Robin is not here yet, but we'll follow up on that to see if that has any traction, because that could be big.
Yes, sir.
That could be big. It give us a lot of support that we need.
Yes, sir.
And Mitch, thank you for following up with the request that I asked about the aspects on the handicap. We were to handicap accessible vans from the new department and Department of Social Services. And I spoke with the Senator Stein on 2 weeks ago. I said, if I'm private in these, definitely try to make sure it happens next time when the book when they go back as a section. So I appreciate that. And with Tom communicating with him and calling, and he said he had a new sometime we can probably have those bangers on this board this turn. So thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Any other questions, concerns?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you. All right. And next on our appointments agenda is our Courtney Ward to new positions on human resources. Hello, Chef Tyler.
Good evening, commissioners. The discussion of Medicaid expansion has been on the horizon for a little while now. At this time, Berthier County has received funding for two positions within the Social Services Department to cover these two positions, or the work of the expansion, excuse me. This evening, I'd like to request the addition of two income maintenance caseworker two positions to the Social Services budget using the funding that we received for the state.
I make a motion we pass.
So is it recurring funds or is it a one-time fund?
That is a question of
because if it's not recurring, then we're going to need to adopt two positions that we're going to end up having to pay for in next year's budget. So that's why I'm asking that question.
Quite quickly, I'm going to say that part of it is one time. It's hold harmless funds. So the following year, they were going to let us know whether it's also hold harmless funds. But the county's already received over $100,000 for us to start Medicaid expansion.
I mean, I don't care. I mean, I do care. I ask because I need the board to understand that this is going to affect future.
Sure.
Yeah. So before we just willy-nilly just keep approving stuff.
But also the point should be made that social services is a little bit different. But state, the budget for social services, the state dictates what portion of that is our responsibility, right? So that's going to be ours no matter what.
No matter what.
There's no way around it. They will say, this is the whole measure of your social services. We, the state, will pay X. You, the county, will pay this portion, right?
Right.
So it is what it is.
It is. Yeah. Not if you don't approve the position.
No, they have to.
Who's going to do it? I see your answer to this question, but right now, the Medicaid applications have already started rolling.
Exactly.
And we are losing Indigo.
Exactly.
These are piling up. To do the work, if they're already carrying 500 cases and they're expected to carry at least 150 more each,
right,
going to lose people to counties that are paying
more money. We're not going to stop discussion for a motion. Now, the other thing is that it's important. We are going to have a target that we're going to have to hit. The expectation is somewhere around 1,200 signups, right,
mm-hmm,
in this county.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't hit those targets, that could, in fact, impact how we are seen and how we're supported by the state.
Right. So in reference to that, they supplied upfront money, the allocation of money. If we don't spend that money, if we don't utilize that money, then we won't get it, and it'll have to revert.
So, but there's a good point, Mike. It is there, but it's the next week to do about it.
Just know that we need to have some discussions before we just start motion. And I'm sorry if I didn't stand up and answer the question, but.
Well, you should ask your questions. This
is basically explaining the funding out.
That's a very complicated thing because we didn't even know where we were going to get the money, even though October 1 now is supposed to be the start date, at least a projected start date. And understand this, the budget for the state has not been approved.
Correct.
And so if the budget does not get approved, we won't start October 1. It's going to be pushed to December the 1st.
Correct.
But if it starts October 1, like they suggest, the clock's going to be running. We're going to have people in place to start signing up our folks. And it's in our best interest of our citizens.
It takes approximately 3 months.
That's right.
To train somebody.
Right. Exactly.
Accurately processed.
And you've already got this stuff running on top of you now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we've already funded how much? 100,000. 100,000, right?
Mm-hmm. 38. $38,960 for CCU in preparation for Medicaid expansion, and then another $84,120, a one-time distribution of funding to support CCU in preparation for Medicaid expansion.
Okay.
Thank
you. It's a roll over to the new. And as you said, it's going to take 3 months to get people trained. There's really no other choice in this situation.
Right.
And the state's going to pick up their part, Mike, every year. So they're going to still stick us with whatever.
So are we good? So we're good? So
thank you.
We have a motion on the floor. We have a second.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the adding of those two positions using the funds that were discussed, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you.
So something else I'd like to talk to you all about this evening, if I may.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
I just passed out an update to the Butte County Sheriff's Office salary schedule as well as the job description. Upon discussion with Sheriff Ruffin regarding operations and oversight of court proceedings, we identified the need to add an additional position to the Butte County Sheriff's Office salary schedule. The position that we are recommending adding to the salary schedule is the unarmed bailiff. This position would be filled with an individual that would not be required to attend the LET. However, they would assist a certified armed deputy within the courtroom handling non-law enforcement duties within the court. Upon review of the role, as well as the duties and responsibilities of the unarmed bailiff position, it is my recommendation to add grade 60 with the pay range of $24,338 to $37,734 to the Butte County Sheriff's Office salary schedule.
So my question is this a new position or is it taking a vacant position?
So this is... It's two separate things. So we're adding the actual position,
right?
Not funding the position, just adding the position to the salary schedule. We're not adding a funded position to the budget. In our policy, we have to have a full-time equivalent, like outlined for any part-time position we want to fill. So we have a part-time budget, we have a part-time budget within the sheriff's budget, and we're not planning on hiring a full-time unarmed bailiff. We're just going to utilize a
part. I'll make a motion. The subject of this comes from the HR. Bill's we had one of the most jobs, but it got a second job.
And so, you know, that's a good point because we will still have coverage in the building that is on. That's really different. Okay. Moving to properly second, all those in favor of adding the position using the existing funding line discussed, please say aye. All those opposed, nay? Ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sheriff, I think this is going to be a great addition.
These past 2 or 3 weeks, we've been having courts for probably 5 days out of the week trying to operate with that. The chief deputy is doing a great job, you know, operating, and we're planning to put somebody in the full-time position of the court very soon from another thing. Thank you all for what you do.
Thank you, sir. Okay, great. And our final update and departments is Assistant County Manager Davis Crabwell and our Interim Finance Director.
Yeah, it wasn't put in your agenda, so I'll let you look at it. This is the first of the new fiscal year. We are in line with last So all looks good. I think the most important thing, have 10, so we'll make sure I give everybody who have to have them. The most important thing for you to look at, if you'll turn to the back of the page, and at the bottom, you'll see the reimbursements that you've been questioning and asking about. Todd Glass of Water, we have received $267,000 of the $300,000+ that we are waiting on. We're still waiting on about $86,000 more from them. We received that July the 28th, so a little bit longer than they told us it was going to take. The water system replacement, $128,000. According to the emails I received on Friday, the accountant, the money has been, the request has been put in. The accountant was at a training hall last week, and they should be cutting the check this week.
Sweet.
But we have been waiting since January, so I will let you know if we do receive that money this week. There are no other concerns that I have on this. We're in line, like I said, with... prior first month of last year. And so
question.
Yes, sir.
On the tall glass of water, the $267,000 that we received on July 28th, that money was spent for the previous fiscal year, correct? 22?
I'm sorry.
Okay. The $267,000 for tall glass water we received July 28th, okay, that was spent this past budget, correct?
Last fiscal year.
And that came out of fund balance, correct? Or was that budgeted somehow?
It came out of general fund balance. So, yeah, it would have come out.
It was a budget item that came out of fund balance. In other words, we had it in our budget to spend. So, does it show us $267,000 spent out of fund balance but not reimbursed before we turn for audits? You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. And because we've received it by now, I don't think we'll have to, since we received it July 28th, even though it's outside of the fiscal year, we have a little window. Okay, we receive funds, it will still go to fiscal 23 back to
year 25. It was about $400,000 or something like that. Right? Mm-hmm. So,
okay. That will not be the case because it will be received back to when they do the end of year closing.
I have one question on the front on the cash. The significant increase for the NC Capital Management Trust to almost $7 million from prior year of 3.7. That is...
Again, we had this discussion last month, and it's basically the revenues that are coming in and the funds that are coming in that we have. It's just a buildup over time and expenditures. There's nothing specific to line up to.
Right. And so we're getting, is this because we're getting the Maryland, because we're just, the processing is slowly getting it through? I mean, why we have almost double at this time of the year than we had at the same time of the year prior? Is that because of what?
Ms. Wilson, I don't have an answer for you.
Okay. I just want to make sure that is not
when I came on board, 3 months ago and started working on this, it's been at this level and it's been consistent. And so I don't know why we've seen so much more than last year. I can try and go back and figure it out, but I've not dealt with
that. Juan, I'd like to have an answer to that because that's a lot of money, right? So is our processing of that somehow affects that? It was just things are coming to us in larger portions, et cetera.
Yeah, as Amy mentioned, take a closer look and be able to give you a more definite answer. But as mentioned before, I really think it's us speaking to the budget.
It's just a matter of being fiscally responsible and building up money.
Yes, it's an accumulation over time. Honestly, I don't think it's one particular thing, but we will definitely go back and see if we can try to identify. But I don't think it's one particular thing that we've done in order to see that increase.
So this increased money, these are funds that do in fact impact our fund balance. Well, no. Are they passed through? That's what I'm saying. When I see a number that big, that's twice as big as the year before, that's a red flag. We need to understand why that's the case. Right? Because is that something that doesn't matter? Or is that some reason?
It definitely matters, and it's definitely a good thing. And I think once we see...
That's basically $3.2 million increase.
Once we see the
$1.7 million on cash.
So that's what I was going to ask, where that first one is.
That's the central deposit account. Okay, so which that's the CD is what they're talking about there.
You know, the CD?
With the central deposit account, okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's
just the daily cash. The CDs are one and a half.
I see what I mean.
So, you know, may not be anything.
I will do my best to answer that.
You know,
thank you, David. You know that.
Let's go. All right.
Move into that question. Because what's interesting is that that one decreased almost $1.7 million.
Right. That was my question.
Yeah, that was very similar.
We don't know. Unless we have an answer. Down 1.7 in one place and up
2.7
and up 3.2
million.
Right. You know what we're dealing with. Other than surprises. All right. That's it, David. All right. Yeah, well, you'll come back to us a little bit later.
I'll do that.
Thank you. All right. So we're past the school year's chair.
Yes, sir.
But the bottom line comes up to about what we're short on the, like 9.5 million versus 8,047,000, about the same thing that we'd be short
on the cash.
Exactly.
Right. I don't know.
We need to be able to snap. I mean, the bottom line looks great. Like you're saying, it's just moving around here.
Yeah. And know what it is. That's
what we require.
So next we have board appointments for the ABC board. One.
I'll turn it over to
you. Thank you, sir.
For the ABC board, we're looking to appoint Ms. Sharon Jones. She originally filled the unexpired term of Mr. James Pugh that passed. So that term expired on 6/30 of this year. So we're requesting an appointment or recommending to reappoint Ms. Sharon Jones for this position.
I bring the motion.
Motion has been made to reappoint. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second, Commissioner Dallas. Are those in favor of reappointing Sharon Jones for that position on ABC board? Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay?
Ayes have it.
Thank you. I'm sure she's done a great job. And so we're delighted to have her. She's also running unopposed for her seat on the board. Next is the Rivers East Workforce Development Board. Stan, we have two positions there.
We do. And this one is a little difficult because we originally appointed Ms. Julia Mills with Purdue Farm and Mr. Randy Chair with Chief Sports Bar and Grill. However, it was given to my knowledge that Ms. Nichols never showed up to any of the meetings, 0%.
Right.
Mr. Cherry did have a 40% rate, but Mr. Cherry would like to continue to serve. He just needs to be a little bit educated on the attendance of the meeting. So requesting reappointment for Mr. Cherry with Chief Sports Bar and Grill. And we are currently looking for someone to fill Ms. Nichols' spot. I haven't heard any feedback from her yet.
Yeah, we talked a little bit. Juan and I talked a little bit about that. Purdue is our largest employer, right? And so I think the person that they assigned perhaps was the wrong person who could not make the meetings. I still think I would love for us to still have a larger employer on that board, but we need a person who's going to be able to make the meetings, right? So if you guys are okay, just consensus, we'd like to still reach out to Purdue and say, can you give us a person, you know, in management who will be able to attend these meetings? This is Workforce Development Board. You need our largest employer on that board if they're willing to do it.
Yeah. It's not going to go elsewhere.
I think this would be an idea to have some dialogue between Purdue and the county.
And they may say, no, we don't have time to think about on the administrative team. We'll pass on to somebody else. But they are our largest employer, so we ought to give them that
opportunity. Sure. Yeah, so everybody okay with that?
Just general. All right.
Okay, and what about, are y'all interested in reappointing Chief Cherry for that second position? He originally served.
Yeah.
He did attend, but only 40%. So requesting a little bit of education, he did tell me he would like to continue to serve on the board.
Right.
If the board is fit.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to let him know that this should be better. Yeah. We expect that, but he is asking. So what is your pleasure?
Move the problem second. Commissioner Dallas, Commissioner Robinson, all those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. We've reappointed Chief to that and Randy Chair to that position, and we're going to reach out to Purdue for the other industry position. Right? Okay. And that's all we have on board appointments, right? Right, LaShonda?
Correct.
Okay, great. Next on our consent agenda, first thing is the approval of tax release journal for August of 23. We've always had a chance to see that. Any questions about that? Do we need any other further discussion? Not, floor is open for a motion to approve. Commissioner Robinson, I have a second. Commissioner Ballard. All those in favor of approving the tax release journal for August of 23, please say aye.
Are
those opposed, nay? Thank you. Approved. Minutes. Now, I think we've all had LaShonda's gotten those out to us for last time. The attorneys have responded, correct?
The red line copy by the attorney is on the package.
Yes. Right. So does anyone else?
There's one thing that needs to be done. I think you're missing a name. Like on the fourth page where it says the motion passed 3-1 vote with commissioner voting. No, I think it should say Commissioner White.
I think he cut that.
Okay.
I think that's on the... Because I know I pointed that out too. Is that not on the red?
It's not.
This is the red line. It's not. Okay. Okay, great. That's a good catch. All right. So, any other questions about that?
And now all those motions open for the approval of the minutes for 7:17. Open and close.
Yeah, I made the motion to the motion. That's stated by Commissioner White.
For open and close, right? Do I have a second on that? So, move the property second for Mr. Robinson, Commissioner Ballas. All those in favor of approving the open and close minutes for 7:17:23, please say aye. All those opposed? Nay? As have it. Okay, David, that correctly means.
Actually, we're going to ask you to approve number five before you do.
Yes, the CARE grant. Yes.
Okay. Because if you approve number three, you've automatically approved number five.
There you go. Let's go to five. The approval of the home and community care block grant for older adults agreement with the provisions for of the county for base age services. What's your pleasure, board?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Move to approve, Commissioner Robinson. Second by Commissioner Trump. All those in favor of approving that community block grant, please say aye.
Aye.
All those nay? I've had it. Thank you, Dave. That's approved. Now to the budget amendment.
Okay, so now on the budget amendments, budget amendment 24-2 is basically simply a grant that was received, and it for the Council on Aging. And so that just needs to be approved so that we can increase the budget and increase our expenditure line item.
Just to pass through for
right, right. And then the 24-03 budget is actually in relation to the one the which you just approved. And we budgeted what we thought we were going to get in different line items. Some line items were increased slightly, some were decreased. So this budget amendment is just to make everything square.
Right. You need to balance it. Another discussion? Hearing none, motion's open for to approve.
To make a motion, we approve it.
Commissioner Grant and Commissioner Robinson, with second, all those in favor of approving the budget amendments as so stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, David. Also, we have a proclamation of support for the Child Support Awareness Month for the month of August. That proclamation is here in our folder, so any questions concerning that? If not, open to approve.
So moved.
Commissioner Robinson to approve the proclamation for Child Support Awareness Month for August. The second. Commissioner Ballas, all those in favor of approving that August as awareness as Child Support Awareness Month, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it and approved. Next, item six, we have an approval of the MOU for the Regional Film Commission. This is So we have that MOU, right? Now that's been through legal, right? So does anyone have any questions concerning Ms. Ferguson, who's running this? You'll see that this is several counties involved. But it starts with us and Hartford, is that correct? How many counties? All of them?
2, 4, 6, 7, including Bertie.
So are we the host or whatever?
Yes, I think it could be perceived as we are the host.
Right. And there's been no financial requested of us. I want to make that clear, right? So we've approved, we've asked legal to approve the MOU in terms of us supporting this memorandum of understanding, right? So does anyone have any questions concerning that? Hearing none, we're going to don't say this. Commissioner Ballas, do I hear a second? So, Commissioner Trent, all those in favor of approving the memorandum of understanding for the Regional Film Commission, please say aye. Those opposed, nay. She'll be excited to hear that. Thank you all. Last thing is approval of North Carolina Parks and Recreation Trust Fund. The project agreement, I think Robin talked a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
The standard for us, it's just a formality, but the floor is open. We do need to formally approve it. Go ahead, motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the first.
Commissioner Trent offered the recommendation to approve, and then second. So, yeah. I heard Commissioner Robinson first. All those in favor of approving North Carolina Parks Recreation Trust Fund project agreement? Please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Great. All right. So that is all of our board appointments. Now we have several items on the discussion agenda that I think we can move through relatively quickly. The first one is the update on the county surplus sale.
Is Mr. Ray with us, or who's going to?
No, Mr. Ray is not with us, so I'll provide that to you.
Thank you. So when we last spoke about this, Mr. Ray actually suggested that we contact Windsor and the Board of Grief to see if they could recess one of their meetings so that it would help us speed up the process. So Town Administrator Alan Castello has confirmed that they will do that. They actually have a meeting scheduled this Thursday, and then another one because it's the town also the planning board. So one has a meeting on this coming Thursday, one has a meeting on Monday. So he confirmed that we could have the necessary approvals for the documents that are needed by the end of this month, August 24th,
right? And that would save us almost 11 months in the original plan that he gave us, right?
Yes, sir.
I just want to ask legal, John, is there anything on the legal side? Because I know we're waiting for some issues of a couple of pieces of property. Are we all good on the ones now?
On the legal side, we received the auction sale contract. It's called an exclusive listing agreement for the real estate and one for the personal property. And I've talked to Richard Vaughn, and we're finalizing the terms of that.
So
it will need to be brought to the board and see the exact terms of the auction, like the percentage that the auctioneer gets, the minimum bids, the reserve, the
minimum fee,
reserve, stuff like that. So we're finalizing that. And at the same time you approve that, you can approve the resolutions that we can to comply with the statute, and all that can be done certainly within the time frame that we're talking about.
Could we have that for our next meeting?
Yes, sir. I'd like to
okay. And that's important for us because, with now the original stress on EMS and the fact that we're using some of these funds to go forward with the purchase of the two vehicles, it's faster we can move this along, the better off we're going to be. All right.
And so that'll take care of the old VSS site. That'll be
part of that with a survey, right?
Yes.
And then is there another tract? That's I just was looking at the list before I came over here.
There's another tract on County Farm Road that's caught right when you turn into the country club. It's right past that site, that large piece of property. It's multiple acres, but we wanted to segment part of it, segment it out, I believe.
So in terms of the board of
yeah, I've got a spreadsheet. It's got
I think
that's the only one, Jonathan, taking out that property. I thought that was in your guys' hands too, though. I thought it was. Well, no. I've got a spreadsheet which shows the properties, it shows the portion of VSS, but it needs to identify exactly. So that's what it really works.
Okay.
And then the one on County Farm Road, I just want to make sure that's on the list. That's,
yes.
No, Tico, number one, it's on the auction.
I'll make sure that
it was not on the first list, but we put it back on the list. But because we did, I think 31 or 2.
Segment out of Pete John, but
that's the piece. We don't want to know that we want to go forward with this here. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Based on the animal shelter.
So I guess the question becomes, what kind of update do you want?
I know where it stands, and there were some questions raised by one commissioner, Commissioner White, about was there any potential for us to look at some additional support or partnering in some way around this to save some money.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I have found.
It would take down.
We've got about 33% of the construction documents done, which is we've asked him to continue moving forward until such time. I mean, it's under contract, and we've already set that money aside for him, so that's not something we can deal with anyway. But in regards to what options do we have if we choose not to build an animal shelter? I have spoken to Martin County, Hertford County, Chulon County, Halifax County, Washington County, and Terrell County. Some of them I've had responses from. Some of them I've left nice voicemails and emails and not had a response back. Martin County has expressed their sympathy with us, but have said that they have only their facility is only seven ages, and that they're using it full capacity.
And
They had a small deal. They really don't want to participate in anything out of that. So there's no going in with them to build something here in town. Hertford County, I've left voices with staff. I've left messages with staff and voicemails. I've not heard back from them. I think Warren said he was going to push back on and try and talk to the sheriff there. Tuon County, they have a Tri-County Animal Shelter that they do it. And I've left messages for the shelter person. So Halifax County, they've been left messages with them, but I've had no response. And Washington County, I've left a message to sheriff's office. I've talked to the county manager, who indicated it's not a strong possibility, because they're on the same in the same predicament in regard to the conditions of the shelter as we are. Terrell County, they said they could work with us. They could not guarantee Terrell County. Terrell.
And they have the shelter.
Not Terrell. But they said they would be willing to work with us if space allowed. But they also deal with other counties on the along the coast. Sometimes they get horses and other animals. They said that they cannot guarantee spaces, but if a space were available, you could bring an animal to them. I want to point out that in some of my talk with them, you know, Martin County, their shelter is 17 mile one way from here, from Windsor. I went from Windsor. Hertford's 30-mile trip. Tuon is a 36-mile trip. Halifax is a 60-mile trip. So I really wouldn't recommend any consideration of that one. Washington County is a 20-mile trip. And Terrell County is a 48-mile trip. So I bring that up just to bring your attention to, you know, that's man hours lost and transportation costs that we would have to figure out to get them to
be there. Who didn't say was in the same predicament as we?
Washington County.
So that's to me, that's who we would need to partner with. Like, you know, I'm looking for a freeway. I want to say that was another point.
It's a freeway. I know you want to cost the institute to be willing to coordinate with us, to work with us, to take our animals if we had to shut down our shelter. And what it would cost, and if this is the response that I got.
Yeah, but I think it's another possibility. I think you're saying if Washington County is in the same position, now is there a chance for us to be able to work with them together to share? Right.
That's to build one.
Right, to build one together, to share the cost of it. Well, like, that's how you get the tri-counties, so three counties got together and decided to do that. Right?
Keep in mind that Washington County is animal shelter is run by the Sheriff's Department. And I have not spoken to them. I've only spoken to the county manager.
Right.
So that would take a lot more
right
but interaction saying, and discussion and you know, probably some yeah. interaction from him and even from you.
Let's have that, because if it's the same shape that we're in, then that's an opportunity for us, right? That's a solution. And I'm going to make sure that we understand about the point.
The manager, not the sheriff. Well, I don't know what the sheriff would say.
We can let them work out their kind of. We just want to bring the proposal to them that if they are having issues, we're having issues. And is there a possibility for us to work together so all of us can save some money, them and us, and solve both issues? Now, and of course, I did check with Martin County, but the reason Martin only has 7 beds is because Williamston has a facility. And that's across the bridge for us, right in Williamstown. So I don't know if that's a possibility.
How many is Williamstown?
No idea. I just know they have one. I don't know how big it is.
Can you check on that?
Give the mayor a call, Mayor Brown. She can tell you. But let's reach out to Washington. I don't know, why, maybe county manager to county manager, and see if there's any interest at least, because we're going to have to start making decisions sooner or later, right?
Tyrone, we're still here. We'll let him talk.
Spend some money one way or the other. And, you know, if we can't find a savings soon, we got money to go. But let's exhaust reasonable inquiry, right? Does everybody agree with that? We should accept.
Well, I agree.
The chair, Stacy, you know, Tracy Johnson, and see if they're interested in spending some money. Maybe half of what it would normally cost them or something.
That's the sheriff, or?
No, she's not. Chair of the board. I mean, they're going to put the money in, I would imagine, out of the county budget. So, you know, who runs it, they can decide that on their part, or we can work that out if they're interested in doing something. Probably you're in that, but let's try to exhaust that. That's a great suggestion.
Thank you. We know we're going to need some funds, right? So here's a way. Yeah, we have $5 sitting out there.
If we only had to spend half of that, that would be great.
But you got to spend all of this. Huh? If Christ is ego, you got to spend all of this.
Yeah, but even if you had a fund election
before, you need a shelter for even half of $300,000.
Yeah, you would think.
I'm sorry. It's
good. Juan, can you go in person and see? I mentioned it while we were gone, but I don't remember what he said. Andre, what he said about theirs.
So then our next steps are to talk to Hertford Sheriff's Office, to talk to Williamston about theirs,
town
up, and then to reach out to Washington County to find out if they're interested in working together.
There you go.
Perfect. All right. Now, in regards to what we are currently doing, they're still building construction. They're still doing construction design. There's no reason to stop that.
No. What's that specification, though, that they'll be finished with that, so we'll know when we need a decision? Do you have any idea?
I can find out. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't want to hold that.
I talked to him about several weeks ago, mm-hmm. and explained to him what your discussion was.
Right.
And he asked if that meant, should they just stop?
No, don't do that. So is that, with that area, I don't know what it's called, but PAM, it's not the PAM, what's it called?
Shelter.
The shelter, such a nice way to say that. Is the shelter big enough for two counties? If we were to build it in Vertee, could we still partner it with somebody who is not
on the current plans?
Remember, we have down to the small one here.
Is it $700,000?
Yes. So that's the way he's developing it. He's reduced the overall shelter to get it within a $600,000 to $700,000. But with the ability to expand if we need to. So that would be what we'd need to look at. What's Washington's need, for one thing? What's Washington County,
right,
or Williamson or anybody else? And then find out from that if what they're building now would still be sufficient, or if they would need to go back to the original plans, which then puts us at the $900 to $1.2 million.
Instead of $300,000, whatever it was.
I guess the original plan for what they've identified as the need for Vertee County for now and for the expansion was, the total cost was between $900,000 and $1.2 million. Taking it back to roughly what we have now, except a newer facility, would be roughly $600,000 to $700,000.
Gotcha.
So, if Washington County has the same number as we do, mm-hmm. then I don't know what that means in terms of.
Yeah, but they still, even if they have the same number, there could be some savings.
That's what I'm saying.
In terms of everything you want, right?
Mm-hmm. And sharing.
Right. It might be substantial. Even if we saved $100,000, $100,000, we're in money. But a long time, you would be saving on employees as well.
I was trying to see if you would partner, because I mean, we've got to have an animal shelter, obviously.
Yeah, So I mean, and if we don't really have one, then we can just not have this conversation.
Ever. What I have heard thus far in terms of discussion with the others, farming off our animals to another shelter is not
nobody wants viable to get houses.
If no one around here has the capacity to do so.
Makes sense.
All right.
Good. Any other questions?
Windsor has a three-tank shelter behind the water thing. I mean, you know, there's not enough there either. But we have 10 feet. We have 10 animals in there. Right? In our, we have 10 cages, plus the puppy shelter right now. And we have all 10 of them are full. They have been full for a while. Three of them are court cases that will be there for a couple of months before they get out. So we really only have 7 right now. And they're not revolving in and out, you know, like we would hope.
Yeah. I wonder if Winter would be willing to get this up and give us some money. Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm next on this.
No, that's good.
Actually, I think next to him.
Yeah. Next thing is the update on the basketball court, the recreation complex.
And as I told you earlier today, and I told Ron this week, this is going to be a lot easier. There is no update on the animal on the basketball court. In that, we have not yet written an RFP and put it out there, and that is because in the past 3 months we have lost a finance director. And we have opened up Tall Glass of Water. And so we have been Parks and Recreation been focusing on one area. I've been focusing on another area. So that falls on me. I have not done that yet. In the next several weeks, I believe that we can get started on developing the RFP getting it ready to go out so we can try and get an estimate on the cost.
Thank you. They've briefed this here. And John, I want to pick your mind for this because the little information we're pulling out around. But in 2015, when we first wanted to do this, there was a $60,000 that was set aside in the budget. We did not do it. That money did not carry forward to future budgets. We only put it in this time when we put it in this budget. Now, when I saw Donna's plans, and they're not, it's the same plans that Scott drew up. But when she did the estimate, it's in there for a concrete slab, and that is not what we wanted. We wanted a composite surface, and that's what that drawing is. To me, that was the most important piece, a composite surface, not a concrete slab. Nobody wants to play on a concrete slab anymore. And that, and she had in there estimates around bleachers or, you know, seating, right, and the lights and all of that. But we need to be sure that we see the specs. We're getting bids on what we want,
right?
And that was a big thing for us.
It was like 2015, 2014,
2015. Yeah,
2013. Yeah. You're probably talking, because I think they had like $55,000 to $60,000 in the measures at that time.
Yeah, that's what
you're probably talking, say, 115 to 125.
Could be. That's where we need to get some. But let's make sure we're asking for what we want and we get bids on that, because that's not what we want.
And I had Donna look back, and that packet of information that we talked about today is really about 6 pages is all she has. It does have the VersaCourt in here as one of the options.
Right.
I've actually spoken to Scott Sauer today, and his comment was that while the court was discussed, it was never approved or budgeted. So priority one was Blue Jay to address their basketball needs. So
we have $57,000 now, right?
We have $57,000 and some change.
All right. So that's going to go forward with the RFP or at the write up for what we need. But let's make sure that has what we want, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Before I put out the RFP, I would be glad to send it to you and let you review it and see if you have any questions or comments or criticisms. And if any of you want to write it, I mean,
you think we might have that for next month's meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Any other questions on that? Right. Great. Number four, update on the funding to cover increases for the probationary employees. You know, we made the decision at our last meeting that we were going to approve that, but we asked the administrative team to give us some suggestions as to best places to pick up. And how much was that?
We're looking at approximately
$20,000?
$2,700 and something.
So we're asking them to bring us back suggestions as where we think we could cut that or find those funds in the budget, right? I want to make sure everybody's on the same page of what we asked for. So what is your finding?
We're hoping that our revenues are going to come in so high that it won't even be a factor, right? So we have a backup plan, which is Daphne Little's DSS director confirmed even before we got into this fiscal year. There's a position that's budgeted for in her department that she does not plan to fund, and that position, the salary, including benefits, is more than enough to take care of $22,000.
Here's what we've been talking about, right? About how we can work together with departments, make sure our needs are known. I think that we found in the MS when we're looking for a way to do this. This is what we found here. This is what we need. This is a good thing. Somebody steps up and says, hey, I don't need that. You need it? I can erase that. So what do we need to do? Do you need a kind of
nothing we need at this time? It's, you know, the amount of funds that we've received isn't different than anything that's going out at this point. So it just may be a required transfer of some funds at a certain point, but we're not there yet.
Bring that back on the revenue transfer process, right? So, but right now it has been approved that we're going to do it. That was voted. So now it's just a matter of transferring the funds.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody okay with that?
Okay.
Number five, the board participation, the community forum, Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church, which is coming up on this Saturday. Now, you guys have seen the request that came from Linda McNett Moore. Our clerk sent that out to all of us, and I know she's contacted some of us. What she is planning, if you've seen it in here, is to have a forum. She wants to start that forum with a discussion between our board of commissioners here on the stage, Hertford County's board of commissioners, talking about what are our concerns for our county and what are the things that we feel very positive of that we've done, right? That's what she wants to start it off for. And then she's going to ask Butterfield GK, who's going to be there, to moderate discussions with the audience. This is going to take place in Bertie, right? With the audience about what are their concerns about the county, period. Whether that's violence, whether that's whatever it is. So he would be moderating that. And the key is not to just identify issues, but then try to talk about solutions or possible solutions to those things. That's what she's laid out to me.
Yeah, maybe the last room for
you and not be able to be there.
And I won't be there.
Okay.
I'm going to be there too.
All right. So what is it about the weather commissioners?
I don't know. That's my child's birthday. So I don't know. I will try, but I can't promise. But I did speak to somebody from Hertford. They're only going to send one commissioner.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me what I was told. Yeah, well, I got something different from Linda McNoah, but that's from her, not from anybody I spoke to. She said she spoke to Andre and they were going to appear. I don't know how many that is, but who knows?
Okay.
Well, I welcome it. I mean, it's in our county. It's our citizens going to be there. We're going to need some representation. So all of you who can, you know, I think it's a good place to be. You know, it's been presented to the board that way. It is not the county sponsoring this. This is not anything we decided to sponsor. This is Mount Olive. The sheriff is going to be there. Both sheriff's going to be there. But that's her format she's asking for. So we know the date. If you could, those who can come, please let me know. Other than that, I hate to be there long, but I will. All right. Oh, yeah. The other thing she said that she asked for is they wanted to do some kind of recognition to G.K. Butterfield. I do not know what Hertford County is planning to do, right? But apparently they're planning to do something. I only have one suggestion.
What would you think about if we made did a proclamation to make August the 12th G.K. Butterfield Day? All it requires is a piece of paper. I'll vote to do it, and I'll write up making that G.K. Butterfield Day representing his long service to this district and to the county. Just a suggestion. We can do that, anything else, or another, depending on what your thoughts are.
I'm just going to apply to Safe Career Service.
We can.
Okay.
Plaque would be good. We're down by Saturday. That's kind of trouble. But if we can do it,
whatever. Well, I think that'll be great, man. It's going to plaque. Thank you for the service. He's great, done a great job. He's a great man. You know, I think that'll be a surprise.
LaShonda, I can work on the wording for that because we need to get some specific wording to do it, but we're going to have to work very quickly if we're going to do it. To get something to have in hand by Saturday, okay?
Yeah.
The fastest place might be Williamston.
Yeah,
we know Miller pretty good and Bertie connection. So if you tell him you got to have something, but we got to have some wording. And I don't know how long he served or anything like that. So we need to find something, should be something perhaps that we can find out the web and show us the service and just some nice words to it. All right, everybody okay with that? Great. All right. Next thing is the discussion of proposed 2024 meeting schedule for the board, including the holidays. That's in your package. Does anybody have any concerns with it? If you had a chance to look it over, why do you want to make any comments about it? Or
yes, I will probably make some comments, Chairman. So the 2024 holiday schedule is consistent with the state holiday schedule. And the meeting schedule for our Board of Commissioners meeting kind of went through a prior methodology when it came to, of course, one evening meeting each month starting at 6 o'clock. And most, if not all, are that first Monday in the month if possible. And there are certain months where we have work sessions built in, and we've discussed in the past where if they're not needed, then we don't have to have them. But usually we have them. And for this upcoming calendar, those months are March through July. That's right before budget, during budget. And in the fall, kind of consistent with what we have now, the months for the work sessions are September and October. And those work sessions typically start around 9 or 10. And sometimes we have them here. But in this schedule, we have them at the community meeting room. So if you'll see what works for your schedules, I'm not asking that this be approved. But if you will take a look at the date, see if you have any conflicts. And if not, we can make change, revisit this next meeting. And until it's approved, which we hope to do relatively soon.
And typically, we make changes to it also. So
right. We have 7 months on the calendar. We have two meetings. 7 months. So the only thing I would say is I'm very much in favor of, we're going to have a work session that we look at ways to really make that a true work session, more topic specific, so we can deep that up when we get to around budget time or pre-budget. You know, we can have some dedicated time to do some things, rather than just another meeting where we just kind of catch up on stuff, a pre-assigned real meeting kind of stuff. You talk about HR issues and raising it salaries. These are the type kind of meetings that we're going to have deep discussion of, these kind of stuff like that, right? We really need them, but there's 7 in there right now.
Strategic plans.
There you go. All of that. Yes. Let's not just drift into these things. Let's have something structured, very tight, not jam-packed, but a few things that we can get some deep dive into, right? That's what I would certainly like.
Yes, I agree. I just had a question about the holiday schedule. So I don't know that it necessarily has to be up here, but like the July 4th, that's a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it requires us or not, so that's what I'm asking. But like, could you... Your people might not even like it, but that's a Thursday. And I hate to have a Thursday. I'm going to have to come back to work on Friday. So could you do like the Thursday and Friday off, but make the other 3 days 10 hours? So they're still working their full week. That week they're getting paid, or no? Or is you get to make that choice on your own, or is that going to be approved by us? Or I guess that's my question. And it works out because you do 7.5 times 4 divided by 3 because they're only going to work 4 days. That's 30. Divide that 30 by 3, because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that's 10 hours each day.
Uh-huh. So that's not, I don't, it's George, I'm sorry.
Commissioners technically set the hours for the challenge. So it is possible for the women to do
I can't say everyone would be in favor of that, or majority would even be in favor.
The complaint always used to be with people in morning meetings that they work and they can't move.
You all check your calendar, see what works for you all, and if you have any suggested changes about the schedule whatsoever, let's discuss it.
Okay. Good with everybody?
All right.
Okay. The last thing on the discussion agenda is the process for manager's evaluation. Now, we're talking here the process of evaluation, not actually doing an evaluation. But like, I know you had some concerns and some suggestions, right?
Yeah. Well, my concern was that you just evaluate him in November and the year ends in June. So I was wondering, and again, new, so y'all can tell me. I was wondering how if we could switch it up to where you evaluate him in June when the actual fiscal year ends, and then like,
well, you know, possibly July, but after the fiscal year.
Well, you need to do it in June, because if you do it in July, then
the fiscal year already begun,
right?
Like, no, we have the final.
We should
have the final numbers. You don't.
Right, you have the final numbers, but you know, right now you're evaluating him. So my take was like, I know that if we didn't this year, maybe we need to do one in November. It's like a mid-year, since it would be a whole year without it. But then it gave us a chance to actually have goals for him in July to go. And then it just aligns with the calendar, the budget, and everything else. So that's why I was asking.
Very good suggestion.
Very good suggestion. But I think May would be better, man, because June, man, budget.
That's fine.
You spend a long time doing the budget. You know, evaluation and May will work better. You know,
but don't let us, we want to evaluate the long-term management performance on the whole year.
That's right.
So, even if we didn't have all of the final number, because one of the things I think should be a lot of evaluation is how do we do issues like, well, if we're building fund balance, right? Then how do we do, right? Whatever those goals would be, right? Well, they need to be real goals. And then we want to be evaluating after the period to observe that, you know, but I'm not necessarily, okay.
It's July. It's
in July. Doesn't quite work.
Is that because
July is going to be your story, right? But if you did it early in July, would you be able to have the full year's numbers?
I don't know. By then, maybe not. I don't know.
We only got it right now, and it's July 28th.
Right, but then
probably got it's August, not August. August.
July 28th. I think we agree that we'd like to do it on the full year.
Right, and would use this time coming up as an interim or mid-year. How do you feel about that?
Well, I have no problem with it. I'm fine with it.
Okay. Now, the other point you mentioned is that goals, right? Specific goals that we sit down and have. When is the next meeting that we have a second meeting in the month? That's when.
We have another one coming up.
We do. I will tell you in just a second.
We need a strategic plan as well to tie to his goal too that we don't have.
What? You won't have a work session until October.
September.
Is that goal?
October 16th.
Right, and it works this whole process.
Is this year you just do your goals like you've been doing in the past, which I don't know what they are, you're going with the flow. But this year we can get the strategic plan down pat, then you can set concrete goals.
in July for next year, and we can, I mean, you still move this stuff around.
Like, I don't really know about getting that part, but if we could use the month of, obviously, the next meeting is October. So we could use October to work specifically in that meeting and on goals, right? Trace on what we have. And what part of that might be strategic plan, what might be other items. So we can have that as a key work agenda on that October meeting, right? Not crowded with a lot of other things, but give us a few hours to work diligently on that and put together something specific. While we could also suggest to you that you might bring goals direct. So we do that on the community college. We ask our president to bring his objectives. We look at goals. We look at that. We may change them. We may add others. Mm-hmm. And then we leave there with something solid. Right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I didn't know with everything, but we'd be in a much better position. So,
mm-hmm. I'm okay with doing that, and I'll tell you.
Right?
Great.
And I forgot, I did have one question, because I thought when I talked about it, it was up here.
Ask the school in Askaville.
I thought study we talked it was up there.
I didn't see it up here anywhere.
No, we discussed
doing that. That's a good question. With an attorney. And if we need to come back,
so I make a motion for that, we can, the board can do that. Great. So that's everyone here. So commissioners' reports, right? Let's start here. Commissioner Ballas.
Just one thing. On tomorrow, I was contacted by Ms. Kim Swartz, speaking to her. Mm. On tomorrow, they would have a groundbreaking for the School of Dentistry in Orlando.
Yeah.
5 o'clock, I believe.
Some of it committed. I already responded. I'm going to be there.
Yes. I just wanted to reiterate that.
That's your district you're going to be?
Yes.
Great. Great. Anybody else? Everybody welcome. Wants to come over?
Sure, you do.
Before
we do tomorrow night.
Huh?
I said I'll
go meeting my night late.
Uh-huh. The only comment I'm gonna make commissioner before I like to make this that I think the Susan Fulton County would be more mindful and be more alert on what the commission is doing on the county, how the county's moving forward. Because I get a lot of stops and free line or saying, the commission, what y'all doing? You know, I hang out, so you know, you don't know anything about it. I don't know anything. But I just want my city of Berkshire County to be more mindful of their county and their commission to move forward until the new fiscal year.
Well,
I'll be honest with you, I share that. I believe that too. And we need to come up with a way to how do we do that? Remember when Ernestine was on the board, right? She made the suggestion that we put out a like, I don't know if it did quarterly, but we did a kind of thing that showed our accomplishments, right, over a certain period of time. I don't know if it was full year one or just for the quarter. So we were sure, you put it on the site, we distributed it around,
right,
we gave a chance for people to hear what we had done and see it. I think that's a good, you know, maybe there are other ways
too. Yeah, that's great. That's
so great. People love it.
Yeah, they need
it. We built, if you remember. I think the second one we did a thing at the school that we told you out. Mm-hmm. The things that we have accomplished, right?
Yes.
Like the whole point of it, here's what we have done. If you just heard it up,
right.
It will. I mean, we need a way to do that. Communication, I think, is one of the biggest problems we have in this county, getting the message out. We've done some good things that people don't hear. Not that many people read our local papers.
Right.
You know, you may not get it in your church.
Right.
Churches do a great job of that. But some don't. That's right. The point is, how do we do a better job?
So, well, and some of it is, Juan, just fighting Dr. Smallwood for some of the podcast time.
Oh, there you go.
And those things are huge.
Those things were huge.
I'm sure he didn't mind. I was just kidding about fighting.
Yeah. But those are really cool, though. I mean, a lot of people, I heard a lot of comments, but positive comments with you guys.
Yep. Okay.
So, Mr. Spade, been in town a couple weeks ago with his team from the state. We sat down with CRN, which was a group that was remodeling, wanted to remodel a bunch of homes here in Berkeley County, referenced some funding and this, that, and the other. And also funding for the building that they're in. Okay. He asked me what I thought. I said probably somewhere towards $450,000 to take care of the issues that we have there. Then we proceeded on down to Taboo, where we had operational managers. We had two men from Maryland who were like second and third in the food chain. And we had a very great meeting. And it was two and a half hours. Funding asked you to go to their people. They're going to start staging meetings. with people that work at Purdue, the associates, okay? We're talking a 3% interest for 33 years with no down payments whatsoever on new homes. And to educate the people of course how to go through this process. And also possibly setting up an office there for them to turn around and to be able to process the paperwork as we move, okay? Now, CRM also, in conversations with them, I haven't had it yet, I'm going to, what was the meeting, in reference to having them somehow with this, okay? Because I think it all makes us together real well.
Okay. Yes, to do. That's a great comment, Glenn. You know, I've been on the board for Spelman Rivers Ministry, and right now our goal this year was to be 100 homes in Berkeley County. You have a wait list now that's well over 100, but they are doing some great work. And if you haven't seen some of the work that they have done, they don't do the little job. They do roofs for underpinnings and mold mitigation and all of this kind of stuff. So we have one agreement that will reimburse them for all of the supplies for every home they report in Berkeley County this year. 100% of the cost. But there are other expenses beyond that, right? And right now they got a roof over there that they've been trying to fix and just couldn't get it quite. Haven't been able to find a way to get it really fixed. That's a big expense. But I understand that's their expense. But you're right. This is a great organization. We do a lot of things. They're doing a lot of things for our county, but we can connect them in a better way.
I've already got it done. As a matter of fact, they even asked me, I'm doing the assessor on the home stand now. Good.
Good.
And I think I've done four assessor forms just in the last 3 weeks.
And a lot of homes have already been done, and a lot of them on the way, over 100 on the way. So that ain't fetching no difference. All right, Mike?
I don't have anything.
You guys didn't hear anything from the meeting from the Austin?
Can they work with it?
Well, it was hot.
It was similar. They put a lot of emphasis on mental health. And they talked, he was talking about mental health, how, you know, they got to meet the people where they are and, you know, to determine what kind of assessment that they may need. They also, went to one seminar and talked about the real life of affordable housing. You know, we're saying that, you know, how people, you know, was homeless and they need to be more housing to help accommodate. And so we went there and they had a very good workshop. And the other was broadband, they spent a lot of time talking about broadband. And I was found out, that's also Commissioner White and Commissioner Morris. The issues or anything that else I was saying were the same things that we were having here. You know, with the housing, the broadband, the mental health. But not so, you know, to say that, say this is that we might not feel sure or bad because everybody wants that same thing that we are. But everybody working towards better goals just like we are. So, you know, and you know, so everybody going through the same thing. I don't feel too bad about doing this stuff because we are online room for, and like I said, we're good, but we might be on the edge. We got the edge on a lot of things on the top.
Thank you, Ryan. I think that too. My comments are going to match a little bit what you said. There's a survey right now that all of you have on your emails about broadband. That's on the county association, right? We need to really do that. You haven't done it already. It takes about 10 minutes.
They actually sent that out last week.
Yeah.
And I did it, and they got it again today.
Yeah.
And they're doing it every week.
A lot of people shouldn't do it, John, the first time.
They were like, I did mine last week, and I got no one there. You shouldn't serve it out. I'm like, I took it so well.
No, it's just that for people who didn't do it. But we need to do it because we've been lucky. We got an extra $4.1 million because we were able to get the governor's attention around our needs when I really didn't met. Yeah, but he only gave it to a few counties. It's in front of
you. Right.
We got a little heads up. So please do the survey. Look, it's worth the fourth. The other thing about mental health, we need to think about what we're going to do with our opioid settlement dollars. We don't have them all yet, but a lot of counties are already putting together plans, right? Working with other agencies, some counties talking about working together. Somebody asked me, would Trillium match the dollars that we bring to the table around projects? The county association has some experts who can come to us and tell us kind of best demonstrative practice, what has been done, what suggested to be done, if we want it. So we need to start thinking about
what we're going to do about our dollars.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody who's here help us.
Well, I think if we could get three in and tell me and not a coach office.
No.
But we could get three in and tell me and give us some data on some things that they are doing and what they see is greater needs, you know, for mental health. And I think that would give us a better idea how we want to maybe partnership with them, a partnership with another child, and move forward.
Hey, you know, my wife is on that board. We got put her on there, and they have funds from the same source that we have funds from.
Right.
But, you know, they're looking for things to do. So I think we need to approach them to say, let's talk about how we can work together.
Well, that's the same thing I just said.
Well, one thing is, when
you said a hospital, we talked about earlier, and Martin County shut down. It could be a good facility if Martin County or ourselves or a couple other counties went in together and use that as a mental health facility. Okay. And we like that word regional. Okay.
Why?
I can't spell it, but we like that word. four or five counties together and then turn around and get some state funding. And then say, we can investigate what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Yeah. All of us could take a flip it out. Our opioid dollars put it to matching grant, we could get some big bucks. The longer you do it, you know. But we need things like bed space and professionals rather than what some counties are doing, giving money to boys and girls, rooms like that. That's not
Well, you got an empty hospital right now. There you go.
It
would be great.
All right. Good. So, other thing is that if you guys can get a chance, take a look at the future housing project, and I'm going to be moving forward with 17. We should be pouring flag by the third week in September. Things are ahead of pace. You can see now, right now, where the units are going to go. It's going well. Going very, very well. David's, Golden Leaf Grant, we've got the first charges to get our grant, which is the county's grant for Golden Leaf, about $35,000. We've already spent with the partner's money with this month payment somewhere around $250,000. So we still got more to spend before we start the funds. So we're in for it. Okay. That's it for me. County manager's report?
No report.
Okay. County's report, Jonathan?
Yes, sir. Just have a couple things. One follow up on the auction sale for the county. I did go to the courthouse fest and sell two parts of it last week. One was purchased, I think it'll still end up being invited to him, but one was purchased by the county. Nobody was there, nobody was. The county took the bid, and still wasn't came out yesterday. Somebody took the check out. It was an old garden store in the box.
And Cooper's Market.
Yeah, it was not on our list, but
it
wasn't available.
Right.
It's now been foreclosed on.
Oh,
so that might be if the 10 days goes by, we're gonna be upset. We're gonna
do a deed to the counties. Still to the counties. So you want to throw that into the sale? The taxes were a fair amount of taxes. It was probably $10,000 or $11,000. Now the tax value of the property is well in excess of that.
Right.
But I mean, it's because it's got a lot of structure on it. I don't know what quality of structure that is. But it's federally sold to the county for much less than what the tax value was.
So we need to get a payment from Jody on the value.
I think we ought to try to get some understanding what the value of the sector is and put it out
there. Huh? What do you say? It's better than just sit there and start up, say, we own it, man. But what do we do?
You own it. It's really your loss. It's not about maybe five business days. Nobody else comes in. But assuming that happens, what are we going to do? We don't want to skip it. Put it on the list. Okay. Let Jody know if we could. We're still gonna adopt a resolution to sell the list, and that right. and that's not officially occurring until the next meeting. So we could. I'll talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the meeting.
Oh,
we
own it, man. We will in 5 days. So whatever we could get for it, and these things are the solid that we had.
Yeah,
it was too
right.
Or if there's no warranty, it's less than five.
So we
advertise it on TV. Is
there any cases, right?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. It's for us to go to the door when we see everybody wants. Hello, internet. I have one more report.
Yes, sir.
I need the board's authority. Real simple authority. Yeah, there was a road. This is a road ordinance issue. It's a road called Timeshare Lane. You may have seen some emails about it. Maybe you're already familiar with it. I don't know that I need to go into a lot of detail. I wouldn't see any chance.
Nope. No, but we did not talk about it. And we decided we had need direction to accept it. The county will have
to share service and notice of violation.
We're prepared that notice of violation. But we thought litigation would be threatened from that, and litigation is power. It's just not fit. We
right.
just want to be able to see that.
Yeah, he was the county manager and the police have already agreed that it does meet the criteria, which is one of the requirements in the sheriff. So we've done that.
So now
we need to fix it.
Because the Thompson family tried to have that passed at anyone.
Some
state system, and the landowners petition the state to add on to their state system.
I don't know.
Let me ask you a question real quick. What year did we pass that ordinance?
I've
got a.
Was it about 4 years ago?
No, 3 years ago. The property changed hands since 2000.
Is that correct?
What I saw. A lot of the lots changed hands.
And we saved a lot of time, a lot of money, that they could get the road added on to the state system and let NCDO DOT take it over versus, you know, trying to come out there.
Yeah. Most of the time when people have already tried that, and DOT has already said, no, we're not going to do it. And really, because what you just said, that it was not already on the system before that magic date.
Okay, and then well, they have a second option is that if they would bring the road up to state set, then the state then would pick the road over, and then that would save a lot of litigation from the county to the landowner.
But my question is, who owns the road? It's their properties, four families, right? Their brother and sister, and then usually three siblings.
Right.
They inherited it from their father. One of the siblings has passed recently. And so that sibling has two children. So it's a total of four people.
Four people own the road, right?
On the road. And we've already determined
that the road meets the standards to require this to fix it. So the question is, are we giving you the full route to go forward with that, right?
Yes.
How about your motion? And anybody can talk to them in the 45 days after they're served. They have
45 days to bring them in with some client
before we take the next steps. And anybody can talk to them about,
hey, did you consider this?
We tried that.
I'm the blame of self for it.
And move the topic. Do I have a second on the motion that was made?
I need to go ahead and proceed with this.
Say aye. I'll go forward next.
I've had it. We have a quorum. There's nobody to set it out.
So, yeah, go forward.
Yeah. At the same time,
I will speak with the family on School Road, Thompson lady. I don't know, but I did know Mike Thompson. Mike was a third form of third place, and I was talk with his sister and let them know, you know, see whether or not they have tried to get the state back to the room, to the state system, so that would save them some money.
To that point, if you check back on this, Jonathan, that was one of the original roads that we were brought to us when we passed it. And we did not include that one because the judgment was that it was passable. But okay, now we've made the judgment that it is not, so it has deteriorated from what it was. It was passed in, but we didn't feel like it was bad enough. So now it is, that judgment has been made. So now when we just took the vote for Jonathan to go forward,
some things say, you know, I don't like this. Susan's a real good man with the county officials. So, well, I'll talk to him soon. Have they exhaust all the efforts and give the roads add on to the system?
Yeah. Great. So, now the last day on our agenda is public comments. Any public comments of anyone here or on shows? Is anyone on the show of any public comments before we look at a closed session?
I don't have any public comments on Zoom.
All right. Well, I thank everybody for participating so far. We carry the need for us to go into closed sessions, and that is closed sessions pursuant to NCGS 143.11A3, 5, and 6. So I hear a motion.
Remove.
Go ahead, second. Yeah. Moving probably second, that we go into closed session. I know that's faster. Thank you very much. Joe, put everybody in the hall for us as we go into closed session. Let me know when you've accomplished stuff, please.
I sure will.
Yeah.
All right, we are now out of closed session. Back on the record. Thank you, everybody who's still with us. Is there a motion that we need to consider?
Yeah, there's a motion in reference to department heads and living outside the county within a 60-mile radius of Windsor. I'll speak forward with that.
Second motion.
So the motion is that we would change our policy to say that director level people and below, director level for department heads, that resident requirement would move to 60-mile radius
within Windsor. No.
All right. Okay. Do a second.
No, second. Yeah, I'll second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Unanimous. Thank you.